May it please the Court. My name is Linda Babich. I represent Mr. Jocelyn Asada Belante in his petition for review. This is a petition for review from a BIA decision upholding the IJ's denial of Mr. Belante's claim for asylum under INA Section 208 and for a denial of his claim for withholding from removal under INA Section 241. As this Court is well aware, a person seeking asylum must establish a fear of persecution. I want to stop there because it is critical for this Court to have an understanding of what the persecution is in this case.
Aren't you really just arguing that he's afraid of being arrested and prosecuted?
No, but that's exactly the point Your Honor is about to make. If you take the persecution from that point on, as the government has, it misses the entire boat. The persecution in this case isn't a fear of arrest. There is no real arrest in this case. The reality is the persecution here is a complete singling out of Mr. Belante that began as far back as 2005. The reality is in 2005, after he resigned from his position as the Undersecretary of the Department of Agriculture, he was approached by opposition members and he was told, join our forces or we will come after you. We will seek your testimony. Come help us remove and oust President Arroyo. He refused because he did not want to be part of a corrupt opposition that wanted to remove President Arroyo. And from there stemmed a series of actions from the opposition party that can be called the persecution. It's not the arrest. It's not the bounty. It's not the threats. Those are evidence that the persecution exists. And let's take the arrest specifically. There was an arrest warrant that was issued by a Senate committee. That arrest warrant does not carry the same weight as an arrest warrant would here. There's a couple of things behind that.
Well, the Senate does have the right to investigate charges of corruption among public officials, right?
Again, that's an interesting question. In this case, no.
They don't have the right to do it.
In this case, no. The record demonstrates that, too. Here's why. There was an executive order, and whether we agree with this executive order or not, the record demonstrates that President Arroyo issued an executive order that indicated that this Senate committee was not entitled to gather in the first place. It was up to the ombudsman to research and make criminal charges there, should there be any. The Senate committee, in fact, was illegal under this executive order. Now, the executive order further also goes on to grant immunity to certain groups, but that executive order made that initial group illegal. So what Mr. Belante was doing in challenging the Senate committee's ability to call him to testify was challenging a corrupt group of officials who had brought a purported investigation for a fertilizer scam, and he did so through legal means. As the record amply indicates, he challenged each and every subpoena that he received through his attorneys. He has a matter that's still pending in front of the Supreme Court of the Philippines, challenging that right of the Senate committee to call him before them. So any arrest warrant that may exist is actually not
legitimate. So the issue is not resolved.
No, the issue is, as of this day, still not resolved.
You say that they had no authority. You're guessing, too. Did you rely on the Supreme Court? Why shouldn't we wait for the Supreme Court of the Philippines to rule on the subject rather than us getting the act?
Well, it isn't even an issue of having to wait, because the fact is we do have an executive order here that made the entire Senate committee unlawful.
You said that. But if the issue is still before the Supreme Court, why is that the beginning and the end of everything, the executive order of the president? There is an allegation that the president himself is corrupt, is there not?
Well, there was an allegation of that, yeah. But right now it would have been the ombudsman has denied bringing any charges. Had any of this been real?
All of these have to do with criminal process someplace else.
Correct.
And what you're expecting us to do is to rule on the criminal process, the validity of the criminal process, to determine whether or not he's being persecuted or prosecuted.
No, absolutely not, because that isn't the actual persecution in this case. I mean, the fact of the matter
is, what is the Supreme Court considering? What is it they are going to consider?
Whether Mr. Belante just was required to appear, and whether, from my understanding, was whether the Senate committee was even able to form and bring this investigation. to this date, there is still nothing charged against Mr. Belanta. I can't call this a prosecution because it would not be up to the Senate committee to charge Mr. Belanta. It would be up to the ombudsman. And the ombudsman here, which is clear, has not undertaken and will not undertake any charges.
That is according to the executive order of the president.
Yes.
Senate takes the position, I take it, that they have an independent authority to bring him in.
The Senate has the independent they believe that they had the authority to investigate and bring him in for questioning.
Right. So the issue is between the position taken by the president that says they don't and the position taken by the Senate that say they do. And I assume that's before the Supreme Court.
I do believe that is before the Supreme Court, but I, again, don't go back and say that is the general persecution. I would caution this court to rely too much on an arrest warrant that doesn't carry the same weight as if our Senate committee had done it. Just because, although the IJ relied on saying, well, it looks like our system, it doesn't act like our system. The fact of the matter is...
So then we're back to Judge Bauer's question, then why shouldn't we wait to see what the Supreme Court rules? Why shouldn't we wait? Because doesn't that inform us as to whether or not there's a future persecution that may be in mind? I mean, if the Supreme Court holds that it was proper for the Senate committee to issue the subpoena, he then would have to respond to the subpoena, I assume.
I would go back and say I still think he would still be challenging it, and I don't know that he would have to go before the Senate committee. I guess I go back to what is required in order for Mr. Belanta to obtain asylum here. And I would liken it to a case that was actually cited into the government's brief issued by the Seventh Circuit, Bastianpour, where if we go to the social group issue where it was discussed that a certain group of drug traffickers are not allowed to seek asylum in this country. However, if there are alternative grounds, for example, in Bastianpour, he had converted to Christianity in a Muslim country, those grounds had to be looked at. The fact of the matter is the IJ here, the BIA, and the government have completely ignored an entire set of motivations that have brought Mr. Belanta ultimately before this court. Mr. Belanta sought asylum not based upon any prosecution, and that's what I was trying to get at the beginning. Mr. Belanta sought asylum because he feared his life, based upon the opposition party's, based upon the fact that he held a certain political view, and he was a member of a social group, and he was persecuted, regardless of the fact that the Senate committee may have had some authority. Let's take as a premise that the
You're
Senate
in
committee
your
had.
Rebuttal,
Excuse me?
Keep whacking away, you're in your rebuttal. You're into your rebuttal time. See the white line?
Oh, I do see that, Your Honor. Actually, I'd like to I'd like to reserve the rest for my rebuttal, actually, Your Honor. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Carmel Morgan on behalf of the respondent, the U.S. Attorney General. The record in this case does not compel a finding that the petitioner carried his burden of proving a well-founded fear of persecution on account of a statutorily protected ground. Because the petitioner failed to sustain the burden of proof applicable to asylum, he also failed to sustain the more stringent burden applicable to withholding of removal. Therefore, the petitioner is not entitled to relief, and this court should deny the petition for review.
Who must be responsible for the persecution for it to be persecution? Is it the government?
Generally speaking, it's the government. I suppose it could be other groups that were authorized by the government, or the government would acquiesce to those groups engaging in persecution.
Somehow the government would have to be complicit in the thing.
As I understand it, yes. The government's position is that the government there would have to be.
How does that fit in this case?
It doesn't fit at all. I must admit I'm a little confused about where the persecution is. I don't see any persecution, and neither did the immigration judge or the board. The petitioner claims several things that clearly do not amount to persecution. The potential of an arrest, if it's legitimate, would not amount to persecution. The immigration judge...
There's no discussion of the executive branch of the Philippine government doing anything.
Correct. Absolutely not.
And what's your view of this case that's pending before the Supreme Court?
I think the case that's
clarified there and whether we should wait in terms of our ruling.
There's absolutely no need to wait for the ruling from the Filipino Supreme Court. That issue isn't relevant to what's before us. I think it's very clear on the record. There simply is no persecution. And beyond that, the petitioner is unable to show persecution on account of a political opinion or membership in a particular social group.
And is your view of what's being determined before the Supreme Court the same as counsel's? That is, that the Supreme Court is going to determine whether or not that executive order is valid versus and whether or not the committee's action is valid. In other words, whether they have the authority to investigate in the manner in which they're investigating. Are those the issues before the Supreme Court, in your view?
From what I understand from the record, the issue that was before the Supreme Court was simply the validity of the arrest warrant. I suppose that's tied into whether or not the actual investigation is valid. But again, I don't see how that's relevant to this case. This court has defined persecution as punishment for illegitimate reasons that go beyond merely being unfair, unjust, or unlawful. Threats alone don't amount to persecution. Neither does legitimate prosecution.
Well, is there a reasonable possibility that he would be harmed if he returns to the Philippines, given the fact that there is an article saying that the Senate offered a bounty for his arrest? And does the Senate there typically offer bounties for the rest of people who fail to comply with subpoenas?
I'm unfamiliar whether or not the Senate there typically offers bounties for people that fail to comply with subpoenas. However, even if the bounty exists, Mr. Belante can't show a reasonable fear of future prosecution based on the bounty. It would appear from the petitioner's arguments that this is some Wild West-style bounty where he's wanted dead or alive. But if you look at the record, that's clearly not the case. The subpoena, if it exists and continues in force, would be motivated by getting the petitioner in front of the Senate committee to testify. So if the motivation is to have him testify, there would be no impetus for anyone to believe that they ought to harm Mr. Belante. Furthermore, Mr. Belante complained about a communist group called the NPA, and in the record there's a press report that the NPA is not interested in harming Mr. Belante, and to the contrary, they'd just like him to testify before the Senate committee and, so to speak, spill the beans. Furthermore, the State Department country reports show that while there have been political killings in the Philippines, those killings are typically of leftist activists, not of central government figures like Mr. Belante. In addition, I think the strongest evidence is that, in addition to Mr. Belante, other undersecretaries of the Department of Agriculture were called to testify before the committee and did so. And they have remained in the Philippines without harm. So his fear, if it's related to prosecution or the bounty, is simply unfounded. Mr. Belante also testified that he travels in the Philippines with armed bodyguards and lives in a guarded compound. So it would seem that his fear is unfounded. There's also no nexus to political opinion. Simply because this is occurring in a political context and Mr. Belante has a political position doesn't make the alleged persecution on account of a political opinion. It would seem that the Senate committee was interested in hearing from Mr. Belante because of his actions related to his role in the government, not anything personal as to his political opinion. Furthermore, Mr. Belante fails to show membership in any particular social group. He defines a very narrow social group as former government officials that were aligned with President Arroyo. But there's nothing about that particular social group that makes him uniquely vulnerable to persecution. Being loyal to the president is something that I assume many people have in common, not just former government officials. The Senate committee didn't go after only Mr. Belante. Mr. Belante was simply the only one who didn't comply with the subpoenas that I can tell. But because he exacerbated his situation, It makes it appear as if he was singled out, but that may or may not be the case, and it's certainly not on account of a particular social group. There are also sound policy reasons why this court would not want to recognize former government officials aligned with the president as being a particular social group. Obviously, the United States isn't meant to be a safe haven for aliens that are fleeing a legitimate prosecution or for former government officials that are accused of corruption. I note that the petitioner in the reply brief mentioned several times that the immigration judge and the board neglected to engage in a mixed motives analysis, but I would urge the court to find that such an analysis is unnecessary in a case like this where no persecution was found and no ground that statutorily protected was found either. In sum, substantial evidence in the record supports the agency's determination that the petitioner failed to establish either a well-founded fear of persecution or eligibility for withholding of removal. If there are no further questions.
All right. With respect to the group, Mr. Belante is a member of former government officials. This is a group that would be recognized by the Seventh Circuit. In its rulings in Sepulveda and Pavlik, this court indicated that they would find that groups of former officials had unique characteristics, such as they were frozen in time. Mr. Belante's characteristics here would be he belonged to a political group with specific beliefs, doctrines, dogmas, and then it was frozen in time. Mr. Belante had a unique characteristic to him in that he was closely aligned to President Arroyo. But what made him most vulnerable here is that he was not protected by the executive order. The executive order allowed certain individuals' immunity, including Mr. Montes, who the government claims is in the same category.
So he's, these other cabinet members, you
yes.
say all of them
yes.
were subject to immunity. He was the only one that was not.
Exactly. And they're also in a different group. They are currently active members of President Arroyo's cabinet and are currently protected. Based upon the fact that there was a persecution established, there was a necessity for the IJ and the BIA to take a mixed motive analysis.
He's aligned with the sitting president of the Philippines, right?
Yes.
How can the Philippine government be persecuting him when he is aligned with them?
And I was going to address that issue next. The government here, there is government action here. It is this part of the Senate committee. This court has recognized that when the government is helpless to stop certain factions of government, other governmental action, that it is sufficient to be persecution. Mr. Belante himself testified, and also Mr. Montes and Mr. Estrellado testified, that the president herself is not in a position to protect him from the rogue activities of other government officials.
Well, but it seems to me with the case pending before the Supreme Court, you know, if we had a situation where there was not even any access to due process or to a court system at all, perhaps your argument would be stronger. But this issue is up before the Supreme Court.
I see my time is up. May I finish with just a quick response to
yes.
that?
Go ahead.
I would normally agree, but the process here has been averted by the Senate committee the entire time. He was promised at the outset of this investigation that if he did not comply, they would do everything to seek him out. And in fact, that became a realization to Mr. Belante when he arrived here in the United States and had learned that based upon their powers, his visa that was valid for a period of 10 years had been revoked. And it was revoked based upon what he was told at the time, an arrest warrant that was issued. There's nothing here that would secure him in any belief that the process will or could have been followed. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.